It's an interesting preach that I kind of felt in my heart this morning, for this morning, because I want to tie it in with what we're currently doing. And currently we are looking at the gifts of the Holy Spirit. But there's something that I've realized in life is this, is that if you don't have this quality that I'm going to talk about, then your gift will actually kill you. If you don't walk in this, then your gift, now the Bible does say that your gift will make room for you and bring you before great men. The Bible says that. I don't have that scripture, but you can check me out on that. But the interesting thing is that if we don't have this, and maybe if we put up that slide quickly, Louise, if you guys can see there, if we don't have integrity. Now, I think a lot has been said, and I did Google a lot about integrity, and you can watch little YouTube videos on it and what it means, and there's TED Talks about this and about life and what is integrity. But this morning, I want to look from a biblical viewpoint. What is biblical integrity? Okay. And I think the best way to look at biblical integrity really is to look at some examples of people in the Bible. And there's a few of them, but I think two of them that come to mind for me is Daniel and definitely Daniel and Job. These are two of the guys that even under extreme pressure, they were still men of integrity. So maybe if you just turn with me in your Bibles this morning to the book of Daniel. We'll look at Daniel chapter 1. We're actually going to unpack Daniel a little bit. Look a lot at Daniel. But I want to read these scriptures in Daniel chapter 1. But Daniel, I love this scripture, says, resolved. Another word for that is Daniel determined in his heart. Daniel made a decision. And I think integrity starts with that. Integrity starts with making that decision in your heart. And it continues that he would not defile himself with the king's food. Some translation says that he will not defile himself with the king's delicacies. So you know the story of Daniel, a young man that's in exile. And this young man is taken in because he's looking good and they're men of integrity, they're men of stature. But the one thing they said, listen, and the king says, you guys can eat of everything. The king says, come sit at my table and eat of this. And Daniel says, listen, we will purpose in our heart to not do that. Now this is where the Daniel fast came from. And millions of books have been sold about it because these guys go on a vegetarian diet, basically. They say, give us veggies. And we will look better than the rest of the boys. The eunuch comes to him and says, listen, guys, if you don't, the king's going to take my head. I need you guys to look really, really good. And the king wants you to eat some of the food. He says, no. We're not going to partake in the things of the king. But we will trust in the Lord. So he carries on, he says, and with the wine that he drank. Therefore he asked the chief of the eunuchs to allow him not to defile himself. And God gave Daniel favor and compassion in the sight of the chief of the eunuchs. He resolves in his heart, he says, listen, you're in exile. Your life is not your own anymore. And this king is saying to you, eat the food, eat all of it that I give you. Would you make that decision? Would you actually be able to resolve in your heart and be a man of integrity, a woman of integrity in that position? And say, I'm not going to do this. Look at Job quickly. We'll talk about Daniel just now. Job chapter 1, where there's a few scriptures I would like to read. Job chapter 1 verse 1. There was a man in the land of Uz, whose name was Job, and that man was blameless. Now you'll see the word integrity means being blameless and upright. One who feared God and turned away from evil. This is said about Job. Job chapter 2 verse 3 says this, and the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth? Come on. I want God to say that about me one day. There's none like Stephen on the earth because he was blameless and upright. One who fears God and turns away from evil, he still holds fast his, there's that word, integrity, although you incited me against him to destroy him without reason. And you know the story of Job. In actual fact, I just started this week with the book of Job, funny enough. And the whole story is about these friends that says to him, come on, Job. Just, in actual fact, his wife says to him, curse God and die. He says, no, I can't. I have determined in my heart because I am a man that is upright and I fear God. And I will hold fast. And he holds fast to his integrity throughout the book of Job. Job chapter 31 verse 5 to 7 says this. He says, he's asking this. He's praying. He says, if I have walked with falsehood and my foot has hastened to deceit, let me be weighed in a just balance and let God know my integrity. He says, I want God to weigh me. Is this a dangerous prayer? This is one of those dangerous prayers again. Where he's saying, God, you weigh me. You tell me if I'm a man of integrity or not. Because only God can really, really know what happens in your heart. And you'll see that the word integrity means to have, basically it means to have a whole heart. Not a part of it, but a whole heart. If my steps have turned aside from the way and my heart has gone after my eyes. Yo, that's beautiful. My heart has gone after my eyes. He's the same, this is the same Job that actually prayed this. He says, I have made a covenant with my eyes not to look upon a woman with lustful thoughts. Men, have you made covenants with your eyes? Do not look upon women with lustful thoughts. Because that's integrity. Jonathan Edwards says, God, I need you to stamp eternity on my eyeballs. I need you that I can see with an eternal perspective. That's Job. Daniel, Job. So the word integrity comes from the Latin word integer. I-N-T-E-G-E-R. It's a Latin word. And it means the whole of anything. A whole number, not a fraction. If I ask you for four apples, I would expect four apples, not 1.7358 apples. Because it's not a whole apple. It's a fraction thereof. And that's what integrity means. It's not 1.735. It is one or two. It's a whole number. So you can't be half a person. You can't have a little bit of integrity, half a integrity. You know, it's like half a truth is a lie. You don't get something like half a truth. Well, I sort of told the truth. No, you lied. You lied. I blamed it. I withheld evidence. No, you lied. I didn't do that much damage. No, you sinned. And I think in a society that we are in where everything is tolerable and the word intolerance is thrown around so much. I mean, we are now persecuted as a church, because we stand up for what is right and because we have integrity. The church is persecuted today because your yes is your yes and your no is your no. People want half a person, they want a fraction of you, they don't want you to tell the truth. The word means this. An unimpaired state of one's mind and heart. In other words, you're a whole person of moral soundness and purity, of incorruptedness, of uprightness, of honesty. That is what a person of integrity is. That you're an honest person. Just as we have talked about a whole number, So we also can talk about a whole person that is undivided. My kids, often, Lily Ann, for instance, she'll tell me a story. So now we've learned in life, Lily Ann will wait until she's got our undivided attention. And this thing takes your attention. So now mommy and daddy is on it. So Lily Ann will start telling us a story. But there was this girl, mommy and daddy, and then she gets interrupted. And she will start right at the beginning of that story. But there was this girl, mommy and daddy, until she's got our undivided attention. She doesn't have our whole attention when this thing is in our hands or we're busy talking to one another. She is demanding our undivided attention. And I think that is the thing with a person that is undivided also. We're so divided in ourselves that this thing calls for my attention and this thing calls for my attention. And I need to look after this thing that I'm not a whole person anymore. I believe this little bit. I'm not grounded in sound doctrine anymore. I listen to this podcast and I read this book and I'm divided. I'm not undivided. You see, a person of integrity is living uprightly and rightly. He's not divided, nor being a different person in different circumstances. Don't be a chameleon. Not a comedian, a chameleon. Of a clear manikie. And sometimes we're so confused. Ons is so demokrasie se verkleer mannetjie op 'n smartie box. Tel 'n verkleer mannetjie op 'n smartie box gesien. Hy weet nie wat se kleure hy moet raak nie. Pink en blou en geel en groen all at the same time. But that's not the way that we as Christians should be. That's not the way that I read that Daniel purposed in his heart that he will be undivided. He's focused on his God. Look at Job. He says, I determined in my heart, this is what I'm going to do. God, you weigh me. And you tell me if I'm wishy-washy in this thing. You see, something that I have realized over the years, and something that came to my remembrance in this week, in this last week, is a good friend of mine, his name is Mike Davies, one day said this to me. He says, Stefan, your private life must always link up with your public life. Always. Your private life, the way that you are at home should be the way that you are at work. And the way that you are at work should be the way that you are at home. Now, right there, you need to think about your own life right now. What am I like at home, and what am I like when I'm at work? What am I like at church? I mean, right now, you guys have a certain front that you could put up, but now you're going to go home in an hour or two's time. What are you going to be like then? So, I've got this little line. You need to live on Monday like you appear to be on Sunday. You've got to live on Monday the way that you appear to be on Sunday. Because that is Christian integrity. That is biblical integrity. So the word integrity is the same word that integrated has. Same root words. And something that I've picked up over the years is that leaders must be men and women of integrity. And they need to take the principles of the Word of God, not just leaders, I think it's for everybody, but they need to take the principles and they need to internalize it and they need to integrate them into their lives, the principles of the Word. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 3 verse 7. Now this is spoken of an elder. This is a qualification of an elder, okay? Which I am an elder. He must be well thought of by outsiders so that he may not fall into disgrace, into a snare of the devil. So it's not a, you know, it's not a little image that I have. It's not what I wear, but it's the way that I conduct myself when I stand in Pick and Pay and my card is not going through because of some reason. I pick up the 2 bottles of milk and I walk outside and 1 drops. And I drop an F-bomb with that. Is that integrity? And then I look around, who saw me, who heard me? And just kick the milk on the side. What do I do? That's the question. What do you do in that situation? So in the book of Daniel, we read that Daniel began distinguishing himself in Daniel 6 verse 3. Daniel distinguishes himself. And that's the same word that Jesus uses in the New Testament. He says that you need to be holy. Because holiness means otherness. You look different. You're going to talk different. You're going to be different. God wants us to be holy like God is holy. He says that. So he says, then this Daniel became distinguished above all the other presidents and satraps because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. Because there's a difference that was found in Daniel. An excellent spirit. A moral spirit. An upright spirit within him. A spirit that says, yes, Lord, no matter what the world says, I will not defile myself with the king's delicacies. I will not go the way of the world. Your friend says, come, man, nobody's going to see. Nobody's going to know. Chuck the system a little bit, you know. Don't pay the tax. Pay him later. You know, do this thing, do that thing. That's exactly what Job's friends told him. And Job said, no ways, brothers. I'm not going to do it. I mean, your own wife says to you, just curse God and die. Because you must have sinned. She says, I've done nothing wrong. I've done nothing wrong. So the word that we can use, it's an acronym. W-Y-S-I-W-Y-G. Remember, what would Jesus do? This one is better. W-Y-S-I-W-Y-G. It stands for what you see is what you get. Okay. I'm not doing LOL with you or any of those words with you this morning. So this one is Weisewach. Okay. Weisewach. What you see is what you get. That is integrity. What you see is what you get. I'm not a different person in front of you than behind your back. What you see is what you get. There must be a correlation between what you say and what you practice. Your lips must match your life. The things that you say must match your life. And maybe we need to ask ourselves that. Is my lips matching what I say? And Jesus gives us advice in Matthew 23. He says this to us. The scribes and the Pharisees sit on Moses' seat who so practice and observe whatever they tell you, but not what they do, for they preach, but do not practice. In other words, we need to practice what we preach. One of the big indictments, and this is a book that I just finished by a guy called E. Stanley Jones. He says he had a conversation with Mahatma Gandhi in 1919. So when this guy wrote this book, E. Stanley Jones, he wrote this book in the 70s, in 1970 actually. He was 86 years old when he wrote this book. He wrote 2 more books after that. And he said, he had this interview with Mahatma Gandhi and he asked Gandhi, you know, how could we become more relevant in India as ministers, as missionaries? And the one thing that Mahatma Gandhi says, you preach love that Jesus preached, but you just need to start living it. And then the second thing is, don't compromise when the tough times come. Keep on preaching what you're preaching. Christians, we compromise when we hear the mainstream move that way. says the mainstream is right? Right now, I do not want to follow, and I could be locked up for what I'm going to say now. I don't want to follow the mainstream church. Because the mainstream church has been infected by the world. The mainstream church is going the way of the world. There's way too much compromise in the church today. We've allowed Satan into the church. And Satan is debilitating the church from the inside out, not from the outside in. Because of a lack of integrity. Want ons het 'n klomp ja broers wat net sê ja, 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 ja. That's all. But we don't have backbone. We don't have character. We don't men of character. We can be the most gifted people on planet Earth. But if we don't have character and integrity, we're a clanging cymbal. We're a gong. 1 Corinthians 14 talks about the gifts that God gives. He's talking to the Corinthian church, one of the most charismatic churches in the New Testament. They see signs and wonders. They see everything. And he throws in chapter 13, right there in the middle, he says, but if you don't have love, that stuff means nothing. Go read it again today. Love does not keep a record of wrong. How many records do we keep of wrong? I do. You do something to me, I make my little tick in my head. I'll remember. My gift means nothing. I've disqualified myself right there. Right there. Because I'm not acting in integrity right now. My lips and my life, they're not lining up right now. And the world is watching. The world is looking at the church. And they say, church, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? What are you going to do in this situation? The essence of integrity is that the inside, we need to be on the inside what we appear to be on the outside. That's the essence. And I think secret indulgences can actually undermine our integrity so much. Oh, if only. Oh, if only I had. If only I had that thing. That secret indulgence. That's why Job said, I made a covenant with my eyes not to look upon a woman with lustful thoughts. Because he knew that little thing, that one thing can disqualify him when God weighs him in chapter 31. That one thing. People, if God starts weighing us right now, if we are men and women of integrity, what's going to happen? What's going to happen? Right now, your public and your private behavior must be the same. I've said it before. Integrity is what you do when you are unaware that your children are looking and listening. Shh, maak dit vir deur toe. Yesterday, I have to tell you the story. Yesterday. Daddy and mommy were talking in my office, and I said to Annabel Rose, just go out. She goes, are you going to say a swear word? Lord Jesus, help us. Are you going to say a swear word? I'm like, no, I'm not. What are we saying? What are we doing in front of our children? How are we doing it? Be careful, because they watch us. They follow us. They listen to what we say. They pick up things. You guys are going to know all about me on the other side of eternity anyway. My wife and I, we had a massive fight in this week, a massive one. And at one point, I just realized, it was Tuesday night. I had to go baptize people, and I have a myth heart fighting with my wife. By Wednesday, the conviction of the Holy Spirit is so heavy in our house. And we put the kids down. Mom puts the kids down. She says, listen, talk. And at one point, I said, look at my kids. And I said to him, you need to speak to into mommy and daddy's life right now. She's 5 and 8 and a half. 8 and a half, not 9, 8 and a half, not 8, 8 and a half. She reminds us all the time. I'm 8 and a half. And I said, as an 8 and a half and a 5-year-old, please tell me, what can we do better? Sure, and the wisdom that came from my kids' mouth was, because they've got the same Holy Spirit, man. And I'm sitting there and I'm listening to my kids and I say, I need to adjust. I need to adjust. I can't be one person at home and come to church and preach this preach, especially, and say to you, you need to do all these things, and yet I'm not doing it. Who are you when nobody's looking? Who are you? See, reputation is what men think of you. Doesn't really matter much, okay? Reputation. I have a bad reputation, I have a good reputation. Doesn't really matter. Character is what God thinks of you. Amazing thing about Daniel was he was both. He was a man of reputation and a man of character. He did both. He had a good reputation, such a good reputation that the king wanted to make him second in charge of all these things. Look at the life of Joseph. I'm just thinking about him right now. A man of integrity. A man of integrity. Proverbs 15. Daniel knew this. Proverbs 15 verse 3 says this. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch on the evil and the good. There's nothing that you and I do that God's not aware of. He knows everything about us. Go read Psalm 139. He says, the writer of Psalms there, he says, God, even if I go into the depths of hell, then you see me. If I go into the highest, I cannot run away from you, God, because you know me. In actual fact, you know me so well. You know my thoughts from afar off. I haven't even thought of something and you already know what I'm going to think, God. Why? Because God is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He is the creator of everything. He is the one that is the author and the perfecter of your faith. He made you. He knows everything about you. And his desire is that you be a person of character, a person of integrity. So how important is integrity? So I thought, let me talk to some of those that love cars. So who's got a carburetor in their car still? Anybody have a carbureted car? You have. I have one as well. I have a Uno. Don't say shame. Sure. It's not running, but... The cool thing about an Uno is that if you want to tan both of your arms, it's easy to tan both of your arms, you know? That's pretty cool about Uno. Anyway, let's get back to church. So how important is integrity? So if you take a tiny piece of dirt in a carburetor and it can prevent a powerful, otherwise well-tuned truck or car from successfully climbing a mountain. This is a rather small impurity, but it is all important in making that hill, that ascent. In the same way, one tiny lapse in our integrity can have a great impact on our spiritual journey. Just a little question mark over our integrity. I'm not talking big stuff. I'm talking little things. Jesus uses this analogy. He says it's the small foxes that spoil the vine. It's not the glaring big things. It's when you sit behind your computer en ewes skielik kom hy in hierdie kant kolom. Mooi tannies met lelike gewoontes op. Okay. Hulle gebruik sê is die mooistes. Jy weet, baie bruid van Brazil of rente chick van Russia or something like that. Yeah, on the side, you know. And nobody's watching. Nobody's watching. The kids are sleeping. Your wife is sleeping. It takes one little click. That's all. A little bit of dirt in your carburetor. Just a little bit. And you struggle. And you wonder why. When the hard times come, why am I struggling to go up this hill now? Because of the dirt that is there. And this morning I would like you to, I don't know what your sin is. You know, I tell people I know what their sin is. It's usually the thing that you like to do the most. Sin is lekker. It is. We're all sinners. Sin is lekker. Sin was very lekker for me when I was a sold out sinner. And then sin didn't become so lekker when I had Jesus in my life. It didn't have the same effect on me. It didn't have the same like kick, you know, stealing. Now if I don't pay my tithes, nobody will know. It's between me and God. But I'm stealing. Jan read a scripture to us the other day. Will man rob God? Yes. How did I rob you, God? Well, withholding your tithes. No, it's easy. God, you know, this month, I can't afford to pay tithes. God, you know. God, I can't go to church. And I know I'm speaking to the converted. You're all in church this morning. But it's so lucky to just sleep in. And oh, God, you know I had a tough week. You know I worked double shifts on Friday and Saturday. God says, don't forsake the fellowship of the saints, as is the habit of some in Hebrews. Don't worry, Carl's not offended, okay? He just needs to get up. So the thing is this, we need to look at these things through a different lens again. We need to be men and women in the last days, even the more so. That we need to be, and I think a simple definition is doing what you say you will do. Let your yes be your yes and your no be your no. It's a biblical principle. In 2 Corinthians, it says, So I have a bucky. I don't have a bucky. But say, for instance, I have a bucky. And Bernard says to me, Stefan, can I borrow your bucky this weekend? And I go, no. One of two things can happen. Bernard can walk away and go, Flippy's got a bucky. Why doesn't he want to give me his bucky? Or he can go, you know what? Stefan is a man of integrity. He said no. Let his no be his no and his yes be his yes. I'm not even going to question why he says no. Do you get that? So which of the two are you? How are you going to respond in that situation? Hey, can I see you now? No. Oh, okay. He doesn't love me. That's why he doesn't want to see me. See, now Satan has just dropped some dirt in your carburetor. And then 6 weeks down the line, you're wondering why this journey is so arduous and why you want to leave the church. Because Stefan hurt me. Stefan said, no, I can't see you now. Did you ask him? Why not now? Why maybe tomorrow? Don't you think he's got a private life as well of things that he might need to do? But integrity will believe the best because love believes the best. And love is that sign of that integrity in our lives. It's a fact of life that you never know when your integrity will be tested. It's a fact of life. You never know when your integrity is really going to be tested. But it's also true that integrity shines the brightest against the backdrop of hardship. Some of you have gone through hard stuff this week, but your integrity will actually be tested against the backdrop of that. The backdrop of suffering, the backdrop of hardships when you go through those things. People may doubt what you say, but they will always believe what you do. People will doubt what you say sometimes. There's maybe ambiguity in that. What he was saying, double meaning. But when you do something, that's when people believe you. Seeing is believing. Satan does not need to accomplish much to destroy integrity. Because integrity has to do with wholeness. Just that small little bit destroys it. You see, integrity is a true 24/7 concept. It's not a Sunday and a Wednesday concept. It's a 24/7 concept. Consistently right choices create or reveal integrity. One evil choice creates a fault line of potential catastrophe. One evil choice. One bad choice. All of us, let me say this to you, all of us, we are products of the way that we think. All of us. A Chinese proverb says, the journey of 1,000 miles starts with the first step. A good friend of mine says, the journey of 1,000 miles starts at the ATM. That's a different story. But that's first step that you take. And today, maybe you need to take one step in the right direction. One decision that way, not that way. Maybe one decision to believe the best rather about somebody. You've heard all these accusations. You've heard all these things. Maybe it's time that you believe the best of that person. Maybe. Because then you're a person of integrity. A person of integrity is blameless. He or she stands by principles no matter what the consequences is. In fact, it can cost you relationships. It's cost me relationships to be a person of integrity. It's cost me reputation. It's cost me promotion. It's cost me a job. Even it can even cost you your life. I remember as a young Christian, you remember those bags that we had in the 80s and the 90s? Wat word het gedoen? Huh? A moon bag. Huh? A what? A mansaki, a twyfel. They were horrid things, but they were wonderful when you worked in the Spur or Mike's Kitchen. I worked in Mike's Kitchen. Okay, so I had this little fish on there. You know those little pins that we used to have? Yeah, it's one of those. I had one of those as a young Christian on this little bag. And this oak that was the manager didn't like me at all from day one because I was a principled person. And I said, I'm not going to work on a Sunday. So he gave me the worst tables, but I served the worst tables. You know that table that's right in the front sitting there? You know, people could still smoke at that table. They sat there. They only drank a beer and then go. So they never ate anything, never tipped on anything. Usually it's the young guys, you know, that don't have money anyway. And if they give you money, they have a little whoopee like that and push it over. Yeah, that table. That was my table. But I served that table well. And one day he looked at me and he looked at that bag and he looked at that fish and he says, "Vak jy for I&J." I said to him, "No. I'm a Christian. It's a sign of what I believe." So this is what he did. He sends me to his Suzuki Jimny, because that's how clear I remember this. And he says, "Go fetch something in my cubbyhole for me." So I go to his Jeep and I unlock it and I open the cubbyhole. And these photos, Polaroid photos of him and his girlfriend naked falls out of that cubbyhole. So what now? What do I do? I've just seen him and his girlfriend naked. That's all he wanted. Because he knew the thing was inconsequential that I had to fetch from that. But that was the test. Would I be a man of integrity? What would I do? Did I glance a second time to those photos? What do I do? Satan knows how he can test your integrity. You see, Daniel chapter 1, integrity enjoys God's favor. God gave Daniel favor and compassion in the sight of the chief of the eunuchs. When we are men and women of integrity, God's favor is upon us. It's beautiful. One thing I want to say is that men of integrity and women of integrity, we have a singleness of heart. If you want true unity in the church, and a lot has been said about unity, I want to teach you something quickly. Be men and women of integrity. Because it's in integrity that we have unity. Let's see quickly. I'm going to teach you this quickly. Philippians chapter 3, verse 13 to 14 says this. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Paul is writing this to the Philippian church. He says, I'm pressing. I have one thing that I need to do. One thing. You and I, we have one thing to do. One heart, one mind, one purpose. One thing that we do. And that is to press on that lies ahead. We are here to advance God's kingdom. We are here to say, Jesus, I need you. That's why we're here. That's why you're sitting here this morning. You are here to worship Him. We're going to worship Him just now. That's why you exist. You don't exist to work for anybody or to do whatever you're doing right now. I'm not saying you shouldn't work, because if a man does not work, he does not eat. But that's not the be all and end all of your life. The true life is only found in Jesus. There's no other way. No other way. 1 Chronicles chapter 12 describes men that are with an undivided heart. Where undivided hearts are, it means that is where true biblical integrity is. We're a whole people, not a divided people. Thomas Watson says this, and I want to end off with these quotes. Thomas Watson says this, he says, and I think he had Daniel in mind when he said this. He says, the plainer the diamond, the more it sparkles. The plainer the heart is, the more it sparkles in God's eyes. Do I sparkle in God's eyes? Daniel definitely sparkled in God's eyes. Job, God restored back to Job double. Integrity practices what it preaches. Daniel 6 verse 10. When Daniel knew that the document had been signed, he went to his house where he had windows in his upper chamber open towards Jerusalem. He got down on his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he had done previously. He's not praying because he's now need to prove something. You see, because that's also not right. Because the king said, you're not allowed to pray to your God. The Bible ends with this little line, as he had done previously. That was Daniel's custom. He was a man of integrity no matter what, and he will be a man of integrity no matter. He did not pray to show his integrity. He prayed because of his integrity. Oswald Chambers said this, my worth to God in public is what I am in private. John Blanchard said this. He says, it is better to go straight than to move in the best of circles. Sometimes you need to choose to go straight than to hang out. Psalm chapter 1 says, do not sit and stand and walk in the ways of mockers and scoffers. It says, if you walk with them, you will eventually stand with them, you will sit with them. It's a digression. You digress. If you walked, you will eventually stop and eventually you will sit. And I want to add a fourth one there. You will definitely lie with them, because that is the way it's going to go. Psalm chapter 1, go read it. Billy Graham says, integrity is the glue that holds our way of life together. What our young people want is to see in the elders is integrity, honesty, truthfulness, and faith. What they hate most of all is hypocrisy and phoniness. That is why it is important for us to go to church, to read the Bible, and to say grace at the table. Let them see us doing what we would like to see them do. That's what Billy Graham said. And Franklin Graham followed in his dad's footsteps, and he's preaching the gospel. We need to show them Jesus. So often we as Christians, we show a poor testimony because we fail to keep our commitments. And I want to maybe address something here, even in our leadership. And if you're offended with me, please deal with your heart quickly. But we can't afford to come late. Tomorrow morning, what time do you start at work? 8 o'clock. Whatever, 6:30, 7:30, whatever. Do you steal from your boss time? If we start at 9 o'clock church, why do we come to church 9:15? Just a question. Just a question. Because I don't think we're too worried about that. It's a little bit of dirt in the carburetor. Just a little bit. It's not gonna jeopardize me. But I do think we as a people, we need to become men and women of integrity before Him. I don't do this for me. I don't do this for you. I do this for audience of one, really. I do this for Him. I'm not angry. People, I'm not angry. This is not a place of anger. I'm saying, Lord, we need to become more like You, Jesus. If we make commitments, if I say to William, William, I'll see you on Thursday, 1 o'clock. What time is William expecting me to be there? 1 o'clock. If I come and I see William 2 o'clock, was I a man of integrity or not? No. If I just rock up without any excuse, I just sit down and just continue our conversation. What is William thinking in his heart right now? No, in love needs to believe the best. But ultimately, what's he thinking? What's he thinking when I get up here and I preach on integrity and I can't live it myself? So I actually want to repent if I've been late for meetings. I want to say to you, I'm sorry. Because I've not showed you the way of integrity. I've not showed you what it means to be a committed Christian. I've not showed you what Jesus is looking for in me. My gift, my preaching means nothing then. It's null and void because my character is not lining up with that. Maybe these are things that we can need to start. Stephen, you're nitpicky on these things. No, I'm not. I feel in the heart of God, these are things that He really, He's speaking to us, a people of character. You see, we cut corners at work. We fail to pay the bills on time. We even cheat the Lord on our tithes. And when the world examines the gospel, they will inspect our lives for character. They will look at us. How do you do it, Bernard and Simone? We don't know how to raise our children. How do you do it? We don't know about this tithe thing. How do you do it? And this is not just leaders in the church, people. This is everybody. This is us. Yeah, well, I'm a young Christian. Maybe I'm exempt of that. No, you're a Christian. Let's live like Christians. The first time Christians were called Christians were in the book of Acts in the church of Antioch. Why were they called Christians? Do you know, John? Why were they called Christians? What was the name? What does it mean? Yeah. Little Christs. Am I a little Christ? Am I showing a little bit of Jesus to everybody? If I stand in the Cooperasi, if I stand in Checkers, where? What am I showing? A simple thing. You were standing at the bread counter. I know this is going to hit home because I do this. I stand at the bread counter. There's one poor lady running around trying to pack 12 rolls. Somebody just comes in and pushes in and starts talking to her. It says, I need this. And you're like, hey, brother, I've been here first. You know? What's that thing in you? That's like, you know? I was here first. Didn't you see me? Or will you say to him, go for it, brother? That's okay. Bless you. Maybe you should ask him, can I pay for those as well? Yo, he's just lifted for you. Hey? Yo, find it somewhere for you. Are you a person of integrity? And I'm going to end with this prayer. Two prayers. One in Psalm chapter 26. I didn't put it up on the board. And the other one is in Psalm 139. So maybe close your eyes this morning as we end. And the worship guys, they can come up as well right now. If we would be men and women of integrity, we would be wise to continually let the words of David be the sincerest of prayer in our hearts. Psalm 26 verse 1, he prays this. Vindicate me, O Lord, for I have walked in my integrity, and I have trusted in the Lord without wavering. Examine me, O Lord, and try me. Test my mind and my heart. Psalm 139 verse 23 and 24 says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts, and see if there be any hurtful way in me, and lead me in the everlasting way.